We'll let our young people be dismissed to their Sunday school class. And we do have two more young people coming. Monica and Jessica are coming. Get that hairball out. I've been down on my back all week. Monday morning, I thought I was still young and strong and everything. I picked up a generator and blew my back out. And I've been praying for that all week, going to work, like working with a sword stuck in your back. But we're here. Our Sunday school lesson, Luke chapter 22. If you don't have a Sunday school book, you can open up your Bible, like I am, Luke chapter 22. And thank you, Sister Molly. Luke chapter 22, it takes place verse 54 through 71. Our golden text is Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he, talking about Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He, talking about Jesus, was bruised for our iniquities. This lesson, very particular lesson, is about Peter misusing an opportunity. The denial of Peter is one of the most shameful events found in the New Testament. I mean, how could he? Now, this is the one that Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. This is the one that Jesus said, whom say men that I am? And some said John the Baptist or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father. And here Peter is, in this lesson, he's denying his Lord. And in some way or another, we all deny the Lord. Just like Peter. And you and I do. You might not really think about it like that, but you actually do. When you're not here, you're denying the Lord the privilege of worship. Some say, well, I worship God my way. Well, you need to worship God His way. Thank you, Sister Molly. Sometimes pastors don't let the Lord have a pulpit and they deny Him. He needs to have the preeminence. Me and James was talking just a little bit. I didn't realize I was late. And he said he thought he was going to have to do the preaching day. I told him that's the most fearful thing that a man can be in. It really is. Y'all think it's all a pleasant thing to preach. I've got to give account to God for every word that I say. Whether it's in my flesh or spirit, I've got to give account of all the messages I preach to God. To whom much is given, much is required. You'll think about that. So in many ways, we deny the Lord all kinds of different ways. But three reasons Peter denied the Lord. And one of them is it denied everything that Peter was. It denied everything that Peter had. And it denied also the fellowship that he had with his Lord Jesus. His life, his knowledge, his change since he met the Lord, his position among the disciples, all the promises that he had received were of the grace. And the second thing was the Lord was at this time going through the greatest crisis of his life. Now, he had come in the world to die, but he asked his disciples to pray with him. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death, and if he ever needed this bunch, he needed them now. Then Peter had this opportunity to stand by Jesus in this hour of need, but instead he forsook the Lord, and they all did, in the very hour which he should have been faithful. And the third thing was Peter betrayed his relationship to the only holy and sinful man that the world has ever known. He thought more of his own life, and so do you and I. This old flesh cries out to be comforted. This old flesh cries out to be pampered. It does. Paul said, for me to live is to die. He said, I am crucified with Christ. If you can live a crucified life, you can walk before God in the beauty of holiness. Unfortunately, most of us are more flesh than we are spirit. But he thought more of his own life than he did of the life of his Lord. And the man who boasts of his own strength and of his own courage is most likely the one that will fall into the deepest sin. And Peter did. He fell in the deepest sin of all the apostles except Judas. And yet there is one thing in this denial that's positive. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and because of that turn, and because of that look, and this is really good, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. You see, you and I, that's why we need to come to church every Sunday. That's why, it's because we're forgetful. We're not mindful of the word of God. We're more forgetful than we are mindful. So we need to be constantly reminded. And in this look, after Peter's done everything that Jesus foretold him he would do, the Lord turned and looked upon him as a cop crew. And because of that look, that eye contact, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he went out and wept bitterly and repented of his sins. That'd be good if we could do that. If we could actually weep. If we could actually repent. We're in the Laodicean church age. What that means is we're laid back, we're asleep at the wheel, we don't say nothing against nothing. We're compliant with everything, we're tolerant, we've been desensitized. And my pastor and I was talking this morning, we was talking about how the media and the news had so much an effect upon our nation. Just like Eve was beguiled in the garden by the serpent, we've been beguiled. And when you get back to the Word of God, back to the principles of the Word of God, so let's get our lesson. I've wasted a little bit of time there, but that was real important. Verse 54 of Luke 22 said, "Then took they him," talking about Jesus, "and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." That's never good to follow afar off. When you're following afar off, you're likely to be tempted. It's closeness to God. It's safe. Draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Walk in the light, He's in the light. You can have fellowship one with another. But Ananias was where Jesus was first brought. And Ananias, he was a father-in-law of Caiaphas. And he had been the high priest, but the Romans disposed him of this position. However, according to the law of Moses, he was still a legitimate high priest, for the office of the high priest is for the life of the high priest. That's Numbers chapter 20 and Numbers chapter 20, verse 28, and Numbers chapter 35, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus was brought first to Ananias. Ananias, he sends Jesus to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas asked Jesus some questions. And those questions that he asked are mentioned in John chapter 18, verse 19 through 24. And he asked him somewhat about the doctrine. And he asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I've said unto them. Behold, they know what I've said." Then when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And his questions were kind of sarcastic, because this assembly was illegal, irregular, and Jesus was being tried before this assembly. They broke every law there was to condemn him. And the only condemnation that they could come up with was blasphemy, because he said that he was the Son of God. However, the charge was changed to that of treason against the Roman government. So Pilate could pronounce judgment against him. They changed the charge from blasphemy to treason. When all the disciples forsook him and fled, Peter with John followed afar off. John went on in there where Jesus was, but Peter stayed out. And it's a dangerous thing to follow far off. One, it leads to temptation. Second, it leads away. Third, it brings weakness. And there are those who follow Christ afar off, even in this day. Those who are far off from Christ in spirit, in sympathy. Those who do little to help to build the church and for the salvation of the lost. Those who absent themselves from duty. Those who offer lip service without any zeal unto godliness. And that may describe you this morning, may describe maybe in some ways me. I mean, I'll just tell you, we can't get close enough to God. And we do need to get closer to God. I told Rick this morning as we was talking, I believe one of the problems of our nation is not in the White House, but in the church house. I believe the pulpit needs to fire back up. And I know they're saying we'll lose our tax-exempt number. We'll get in trouble. We'll be called hate mongers and intolerant and all that stuff. Well, I believe I'd rather have them mad at me and have God mad at me. And I do believe we need to get back to what thus saith the Word of God. But in verse 55, when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sit down together, Peter sat down among them. Now the Bible tells us to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But in this case, the Lord, He's inside the court being judged, and there's an outer court outside this court where Jesus is being tried by the Sanhedrin. And Peter's in this outer court. And he sat down among these that built this fire, and he's warming himself now by the enemy's fire, and he's entering into temptation. He doesn't even realize he's setting himself up. And we're like that in many ways. Verse 56 says, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. She exclaimed that this man was with Jesus. Now he's got an opportunity here to defend his Lord or to deny his Lord. And in Peter's case, verse 57 says, and he denied him, saying, I'm woman, I know him not. And this was actually a direct treason to his master. And Peter failed in what that he thought was his strongest point, was courage. And you know, he was above the rest, and he's ready to die. And his outspoken boldness and his devotion to Jesus, there really seemed to be little danger that he would fail or fall, and yet he did. And we today, we think we're strong. I don't know about you this morning, but I didn't come to church this morning thinking about falling or failing. But yet the Bible said that the devil's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And we're liable when we're unguarded, and we fail for that very reason. That's why the Bible said, put ye on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That armor is from God, and that armor we need to be able to stand for God. There's no discharge from this war. The devil, he doesn't take a break. You know, it's kind of funny. They had that war in Iraq, and they asked if they could have permission to go up there at Mecca and go on that jihad thing up there. They wouldn't have an intermission right in the middle of a war. And that's the way we are sometimes. We think, you know, we can have an intermission. Well, there's not any. The devil, he don't sleep. He don't slumber. Man, he doesn't let up. He just constantly sifts us, constantly comes against us, constantly tempts us, constantly sets traps to ensnare us. And Peter's fall was due to him self-seeking, striving to be accounted the greatest. Titus chapter 1 verse 16 talks about some people. It says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. The works are to line up with the profession. People look at you and you know, the Jehovah's Witness got more zeal than we do. They may not have the truth, but they got more zeal. They go more than we go. They witness more than we witness, but the Bible said a true witness delivers souls. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses," and we do need to be witnessing. As a matter of fact, even yesterday I went into Minute Mark with a purpose. I wanted to go in there and witness to somebody about the Lord, and my heart wouldn't go out to them. I don't understand why, but I went in there with a purpose to find someone and to talk to them about their soul and about eternity. And for lack of better words, my heart wouldn't go out to them. I told Donnie, me and Donnie was together yesterday, and I said, I went in there to witness to someone about their soul, about eternity, and my heart wouldn't go out to them. Now, the Bible does say not to cast your pearls before swine. Now, my wife cleared me up on that, and a man at work did. And you need to have God leading in the matter of witnessing. You need to have God putting up on you, saying, "Hey, hold against if you want to, but I've got to talk to you about eternity, about your soul." And I do. I mean, I would witness to a fence post if it stands still long enough for me to do it. But in this case, I went in there, and all the people I saw in there, my heart wouldn't go out to them. But Peter's self-confidence. Peter was sleeping when he should have been watching and praying. He ventured in the evil company, and his fall was a product of the place that he was. And the seeds he was sowing. And men fall in private before they fall in public. The tree is an example about in this lesson. Said the tree falls with a great crash, but it's not determined until after the crash, the decay that caused its fall. You know, you see, and some of you men like me, you've seen these big trees fall and you look and they're hollowed out in the center. And man, they've been made weak because they weren't sound. And a little old wind comes by and they're just broke. And, you know, that's revealed after the fall. Sometimes that's the way it is with you and I. Verse 58 says, "And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I know not. Or man, I am not." But notice it said after a little while. And, you know, he just got through one denial. I don't know him. Now here's another denial. And again, in this denial, he's accused of being one of the followers of Jesus. And again, he denies him. Man, I am not. It was accompanied with an oath. I swear I'm not one of his. And you see the kind of progression here. Condensation. A little leaven leaveneth a whole. How great a matter a little leaven leaveth. And I want you to know, sin doesn't sometimes come all at one time. It just gradually creeps in. God told Cain, He said, sin lies at the door. It wants in. And 59 tells us how long it was for the next temptation. Does anybody know how long it was? About the space of 1 hour. After another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Now John tells us that this was a kinsman of Malchus whose ear Peter cut off. And if Jesus hadn't have put Malchus's ear back on, then Peter would have been in true trouble. He would have lost his life. Therefore the Lord done something he wouldn't normally do. Was he put the ear back on someone, you know, that wasn't going to heaven? Someone, you know, that wasn't seeking forgiveness or healing? He just put it back on. He put it back on for Peter's sake. But this kinsman, he confronts Peter. And it's with quite a bit of assurance. And he says, of a truth, This fellow also was with him. I mean, there's some confirmation here. Peter, he attacked the kinsman of this man in the garden, John 18:26. And Peter also was identified by his speech as being a Galilean. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. Now, Mark chapter 14, verse 71, it tells us that this time he didn't just, "I swear, I don't know the Lord," but this time he cursed and sweared that he didn't know the Lord. Now, what you see in Peter right here is capable of you and me. You say, "I'll never do that, Brother Eddie." Well, that's what Peter said. He said, "I'll never do that. I'll never deny you." He didn't just deny the Lord. Second time he denied him with an oath. And the third time he denied him with cursing and swearing. And I just want you to know that Peter's a good example of you and I. The things that we think that are unthinkable, the things that we think we'll never do, I'll be honest with you, with a devil down here in your flesh, it'll surprise you. There was a time in my life I wasn't nothing but a puppet on strings. The devil, he had me doing his bidding. I talk like a devil. I walk like a devil. I thought like the devil. I done the things the devil done. The devil was a rebel from the very beginning. He rebelled against God, authority, heaven, that caused his downfall. We have that same rebellious nature. Now the thing that makes us different than the devil is we obey the Lord in repentance, and we're adopted in the family of God, and we start living for God, and not in rebellion, but in submission. Well, that old man wants to rise back up. He wants to come back and take his place. That's why we have to die every day. Paul said, "I die daily." We have to do that. But Peter here, this third denial, he said, "I don't even know what you're saying." And he began to curse and swear and to try to uphold his lie by profanity. I have no idea why people curse and swear, but I've done it. Started at a young age. Made me stick my chest out and think, "Boy, I was a man now. I could curse and swear." Somebody said, "Why do children curse and swear?" Most of the time they hear mom and dad do it. And mom, they say, "What'd you just say?" "I just said what you said." "Well, you ain't supposed to say that." "Well, I just want you to know. Monkey see, monkey do." That's why you need to be godly moms and godly dads. We need to set a godly example. We need to raise up a godly seed. The world may teach your children. I mean, we send our children to public school, and they may teach your children to curse. They may come home, but you don't have to condone it. You can condemn it and say, "I never taught you that. You need to, you know, you need to not talk like that." But Peter's case here, to overthrow this accusation and uphold his lie, he begins to curse and swear. And while he done that, the cock crew. And by that, Peter was reminded of his boast. And he's also reminded of his sin. And this sign was a sign that Jesus had given him. And it struck him now. And the reality of it's brought out in verse 61. Said, "And the Lord turned." Right on time, the Lord turned. The unthinkable has just happened. Now, if the Lord hadn't have turned, if the cock hadn't have crowed, Peter would have continued. And I want you to know that in love, God causes cocks to crow. He causes Himself to turn towards us to help us. This was a turn of love, a turn of compassion, a turn of hope. And Peter turned. I'm sorry, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He'd said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." That look, mingled with sorrow, yearning love, beseeching appeal, caused Peter to remember. He had forgotten about the warnings. Now he remembered, and his memories now like coals of unquenchable fire. And remember, before it's too late, the Lord's eye is upon us. He knows all that we do. His look should bring all to repentance. In verse 62, Peter done what people should do when they're made aware of sin. Peter went out and wept bitterly. His actions had been so contrary, but now his actions are complementary. He had denied his best friend, his Lord and his Master. He had lied and he had cursed. Now he repents with bitter tears. His reaction is the right one. Peter now sorry for his sins, and now he repents. I like to see some of that even today. The sad thing today is we've got so used to sin, we're not sorry for him anymore. And verse 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. Notice it said the men that held Jesus. Those his guards, instead of his disciples, which should have been his guards and should have sheltered him from injury and insult, but they forsook him. And now the members of the Sanhedrin are taking part in this cruelty, and they mock the Lord Jesus. They make sport of him like Samson before the Philistines. In this contrast with his claim to be Messiah, to be the King, to be the Prophet, the Son of God, they smite him no less than 5 times. And the beatings are referred to by this pathetic scene. They just keep smiting, and they use violence. They slap him with open palm. They smite him with sticks. And there's some words mentioned here. I can't even pronounce them. But the description of this beating is very violent. Verse 64, when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? Jesus did not respond to their insults. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53, verse 7. And 65 says, verse 65, and many other things blasphemously spake they against him. They spoke evil of him who had come to take away the sins of the world. And when he was reviled, Peter said he reviled not again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. And with fear they had gone to arrest Jesus. But now their fear and their terror is at an end. And they revenge their fears with violence and mockery and beating. I mean, they're just lashing out upon him because their fear is gone. You know, fear is a good motivator. The Bible said, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If you watch very much of the news, and I do, you'll see awful atrocities. Believe you me, you need to have a loaded gun. You need to have an attack dog. You need to have alarms. If you watch the news in all this week, you saw a man break into a house and they had a nanny cam set up. And this man just walks up this woman and starts beating her ferociously in front of her little daughter, and her little daughter just covered herself up. She didn't know what to do, and this man just beat this woman and took her wedding ring, took all of her wealth, all her jewelry off. Ain't nothing right about that. Now, I'll tell you right now, there ain't no way they're going to serve any justice on that man. The thing needs to be done is he should have never made it in the house. But he came in, I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it's on the news. It's an atrocity. That's the day and hour you're living in. Perilous times. Paul said, Spirit speaks especially in the latter days, there'll be perilous times. That woman was beaten senselessly in front of her daughter. That made it even worse. Now, if you want to beat a woman senselessly, I wouldn't do it in front of her daughter. And that little girl, about like Chelsea's age, she just took a blanket and covered herself up because she didn't want to see that. And here this great big, huge, gigantic guy looked like a gorilla, and he's just beating her mother right in front of her eyes senselessly. And they're just venting their rage. Their fears are gone. He's delivered himself into the hand of sinners, and now all of a sudden the monsters come out and they just start beating on him. He's allowing it. There's no other way. He took my beating, Anthony. Amen. That's what I deserve, Molly. Amen. And they're just with vicious uncaring, no regard at all for him, humanity, or nothing. They're just beating him unconsciously. Verse 66 says, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. Notice it said, as soon as it was day, at the very first possible moment, they came together. Verse 68, he said, and if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. I want you to know, buddy, he's fulfilling prophecy. I never thought about this, but the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that 1,000 years are with the Lord is one day. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. Well, 4,000 years ago, a man named Adam sinned in the garden. 4 days later, Jesus showed up. I never really thought about it like that. But the way God looks at things, 4 days later, He showed up and said, I'm here to pay for Adam's sin. The Bible said, in Adam all die, in Christ all live. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. But I want you to know, Jesus came down to overthrow that. And He did it. And there was no other way to do it except take the beating that Adam deserved. He's called the second Adam. Verse 69, He said, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. The Lord mentioned about the hereafter. Have you thought about the hereafter? Where are you going to be hereafter? Be a good thing to think about today while you're here. Think about the hereafter. Where are you going to spend eternity? If you've got eternal thoughts, you'll make eternal decisions. But He said, you'll see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God with the power of God. All power is given unto Him, heaven and earth. He's got all power. And in contrast with His present weakness, He's going to manifest with all power. And He will be the judge. And they will stand before Him. And they will be called upon to answer for their actions of this day. Jesus made this claim as bold and as plain as words could make it. Verse 70, then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And He said unto them, ye say that I am. And this was a Hebrew way of saying, yes, I am. And verse 71, they said, what need we of any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard of His own mouth. And the Sanhedrin interpreted this as blasphemy. Let me say, sin does blind people. Sin brings people into bondage, and sin denies truth. And here they were, so blinded by sin that they couldn't even see what was right before their eyes. But it had to be, because there was no other way. Amen. What a lesson, amen. But the denial of Peter is repeated even to this day. Even to this day. There'll be somebody today that'll deny the Lord in the pew, the reward of His suffering. There'll be somebody today that'll deny the Lord in the pulpit, and they'll tickle somebody's ear instead of preach the Word of God, precept upon precept, line upon line, what thus saith the Word of God. But in so many ways, we deny the Lord. Amen. You ought to think about that. Bible said they profess they know Him, but in works they deny Him. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Good Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother James, you want to come up here and do our Sunday school introduction?